the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This news, talk, and entertainment show taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we know what we're talking about on this show. We even know what we're talking about when we ain't talking about anything, which gives us a leg up on most of the competition. Thank you for joining us. Phil Hendry here in our News and Information Hour. We'll have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And for those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, occasionally I throw it over onto what we call our Camera One view. Camera One is a side view. And you'll see me doing sometimes something here with my left hand. Those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, you can see my left hand. And Robert, you're going to say something?
Yeah, we get a lot of people. One guy want to know if you have, like, Parkinson's.
Well, of course he knows that I don't have Parkinson's. If I had Parkinson's, it would be far more evident than just a left hand. But it is a motion that you will find many people in radio, music, whatever, especially radio. We do a lot of things with our hands that don't make sense. It looks sort of strange. Don't be afraid. It's just as I'm talking, you know, I'll be grabbing something. I guess I'm saying too much here.
Yeah, it's starting to be embarrassing.
Well, okay. In any event, so now you know. Somebody thought that, what's Phil doing there with his left hand? It's just a nervous, it's not even nervous. It's when you're talking and you're not talking as in a normal conversation, but you're talking to make sure that the momentum of the show is moving forward to whatever degree that you can make that happen. There's kind of a physical thing that's going on as well. I can't explain it. Forget it. Why did I even bring it up?
The guy thought you had Parkinson's.
He didn't really think I had Parkinson's. He's just a jackass. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We do want to talk a little bit about the debates this evening. We're going to do that. There's a very interesting story in the news about the federal government investigating Maricopa County Sheriff's Office of Joe Arpaio. Get ready for that. The federal government investigating the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office that is run by Sheriff Joe Arpaio because they feel there may have been some civil rights violations there. So what's going on with that? And we'll get into that. The passing of Christopher Hitchens, who I admired, who I felt was one of the more, you know, it's very difficult to find an honest man in the middle of all of this folderol. Everybody is looking just to win popularity contests. Christopher Hitchens was an admitted leftist. He was an admitted left-winger. Everything that people would probably despise, you know, many people who are, well, for instance, listeners to talk radio. And yet, the reason why I admired Christopher Hitchens was because even as a leftist, he knew that the natural enemy of leftists were fascists. And so he supported the war in Iraq. He supported the war on terror. He supported President Bush in those efforts. And he made very, very compelling and convincing arguments in support because he said, these are fascists, and those of us who have conscience, those of us who are so-called left-wing, we fight fascists. And in fact, he led a group of intellectuals, all of them identified as socialists and leftists. He led them in the signing of a declaration, if you will, at the beginning of the Iraq War in support of it. Very, very rare. I don't think probably most of you ever even heard of it. You've heard of Christopher Hitchens. I would recommend that you read I read his biography of Thomas Jefferson, and I was at first reluctant because I thought, what is that about? You know, Christopher Hitchens, he adopted America as his own country. I believe he became an American citizen. But his biography of Jefferson was very, very good. It was really honest, and I liked it. So Christopher Hitchens has passed on. We'll talk about that. I want to bring on our show here this evening at the Phil Hendry Show, and our number is open at 877-876-PHIL. We have Chris Jekyll, who is a journalist and has written a book that I think is fascinating. And I picked up the book and read a few pages of it, Chris, just before we came on the air. It's called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Phil. The book has been out for a week now called The Loss of Civility, The Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century, because it's a book that I think we need, and the loss of manners, just good manners, and the way we treat each other, and the fact that we have so many young people who come up these days looking at the behavior of adults who have no idea what gracious behavior is, what good manners are, the use of proper language, not using obscenities, not using the profanities in public. And it also was a book that was inspired by experiences of my own because of I have a little bit of an unusual last name. And I was very shocked, to be honest with you, how quickly people, because they're so childish, are going to jump all over someone's name, and they're going to behave in the most rude possible fashion. So I felt that we needed a book that was going to address all of these needs. And in this book, I hope we've done that.
The loss of civility. So, in other words, we have a manners problem.
Very much so, and I don't think I had to write a book to tell people that. What this book does is it breaks down what has happened and why things like that have happened, and who's to blame, and who are the parents that are to blame, as opposed to the teachers, as opposed to other authority figures. Is it a government problem? We have so many people that love to blame government for everything. I think sometimes we blame government for things that we shouldn't. I think in this instance, this is not a government problem. This is a problem of parenting, and it's a problem of I think it's the problem, Phil, of the underclasses or the lower class or the working class, however you want to call it, not caring as much as they used to, because the underclass in the old days would say, well, someday I want my son or my daughter to become middle class or upper class. I want them to have money, and I want them to learn the social graces, and so they would be very careful in teaching that to the kids. But today, it seems that that kind of education is not there anymore.
All right, we're talking here with Chris Jekyll, who has written the book Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. Now, I want to ask you, Chris, you said because you have an unusual last name. Your last name is Jekyll. It doesn't seem unusual to me.
Well, because of the Robert Louis Stevenson book.
You mean Dr. Jekyll?
The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and there was a cartoon character, Heckle and Jekyll, and people like to have some fun with a name like that. And I knew growing up that it was going to be a problem for me, and it has become a problem, but in a way that I never anticipated. The level of immaturity, I don't mind people making jokes. I think we all make jokes, but when someone has an unusual last name, when you're in grade school, you think that they're going to make jokes, but never do you think you're going to have it become a problem in your adult life. And I was inspired to write the book when I had a run-in with a neighbor's son who came to our front door and had knocked on the front door. And I've known this young man for a number of years. And he said to me, I opened the door, and I thought, I don't know who this is. It could be a tradesperson or something. It was a Saturday morning, and I opened the door, and he was standing there, this young fellow.
And he's a neighbor.
He was a neighbor of ours, yes, and I know his parents very well. And I was there, and he said, and again, it's childish, and I suppose people get a laugh out of it, but what they don't understand is that it is harassment. It can lead to, not only is it harassment, but it leads to a sense that you're not safe, and you begin to take matters into your own hands.
Well, what happened?
I heard a knock on the door. This kid comes to the door, and he says, Mr. Jekyll, and I said, hi. He said, is Mr. Hyde home? And it sounds funny now, but when you are at the entrance to your door, to your home, your wife and kids are asleep, you feel pretty naked, and you don't know what's going to happen. I instinctively grabbed this young man by his shirt, and I started to pull him into the house, and in so doing, his head hit the door, the side of the door, the door jamb. And I pulled him in, his head hitting that, but I was... I can tell you that I was feeling like I needed to act, and I...
Now, I got to interrupt you here for a moment. The young man that you're talking about, this neighbor, said, is Mr. Hyde home? He was making a joke about your name, Jekyll.
That is correct, yes. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm not a doctor, but I've had people call me that, Dr. Jekyll, and that's when the harassment really began, you know, when you're younger and you are going to school and you're engaging your classmates and so forth, or you're going out, you're for the very first time in your life, you're going out socially with a young lady. And people, the cruelty that began when I was very young was something that I was able to deal with. But when you've got a girlfriend saying, calling you Dr. Jekyll, you have the your friends calling you Dr. Jekyll, it beats you down. And it
all right, I realize we get some background going here, Chris, but I but I wanted to find a little bit out. So when this kid called you Mr. Hyde, you then reached out and grabbed him?
It was instinctive, yeah. It was a fight or flight instinct. This is, we deal with this in the Loss of Civility in the book, when someone calls you and we've all had this problem. Look, take a look at race relations in America, Phil. Look at black people, and look at Hispanic people, and look at our Asian people, or Jewish people. You know, you have a fight or flight instinct when someone calls you a name, and you know that there are, the intention behind that is not friendly, and so you tense. I can well imagine if I were black and someone were to call me the N-word, I would tense, ready for anything, because anyone that would say that openly is unpredictable, and I think you have to be ready. When this boy came to our house, that's not the same thing. We're not talking about the N-word here. We're not talking about...
No, we're not talking about anything racial at all.
No, we are not. We absolutely not, Phil, but we are talking about something that someone has brazenly said to you to mock your family name on a Saturday morning, as you open the door to your home, where you are the only line of defense between yourself and your wife and sleeping children. So I opened the door, and he said, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home?" And anybody would laugh were it not them.
I mean, I hear that, and my instinct is to laugh, yeah, but you're saying...
Well, of course, your instinct is to laugh. You're not the man standing at the door. Your name isn't Jekyll.
No, I understand that. So when you hear this, because I want to see this, my audience, I'm sure, wants to see this and hear this from your point of view.
Yes.
Okay, so you open the door. He says, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll. You know this young man?"
Yeah, I know him very, very well. I don't want to use the family name, and for obvious reasons, even though they've used my name in interviews that they've done with the media since this took place, and in their lawsuit, they have.
So they're suing you.
Oh, by all means, they're suing me, and they're going to lose because they were the ones that harassed me. They're suing me for I don't know. The assault was not really, I was not charged with any assault by the police. And that's my ace in the hole. I'm going to say to them that, you know.
All right, I don't want to get too far afield again of our discussion here. These are other matters, the lawsuit and your relations with his family. I understand all of that, but I do want to, oh, you know, we're running out of time here. Tell you what, let me give our number out, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The book is called The Loss of Civility. Mr. Chris Jekyll is with us, who basically assaulted a neighbor's son when that young man called you Mr. Hyde. And as funny as that may be for the rest of us, for you, it was an assault and it was a frightening experience.
It was very frightening. And again, put yourself in the shoes of a black man or a Hispanic man who's been called these names. I'm not black or Hispanic, but when I was, hey, is Mr. Hyde home? The first reaction I had was I need to neutralize the threat.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I got so engrossed in what he was saying, and also we were fooling around with Bud and Robert at the beginning of the show. We will get more into Chris Jekyll's story. His book is called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. If your name is Jekyll and someone calls you Mr. Hyde, is this an assault? An assault in terms of bad manners like profanity? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we'll probably do a little bit of resetting here on our topic because we got into a bunch of other business when we started the show this evening. But we do have with us Chris Jekyll, a journalist and a man who's written a book called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. The way that we talk to each other, Chris, I imagine is one of the areas that you deal with.
There's a lot of different things in the book, but the way that we talk to each other, the way that we do, we respect each other, do we offer just normal respect? Normal, decent respect is missing in our society. Normal, decent behavior, I don't think anybody would disagree with that, is missing in our society. We have young people who wear as a badge of individuality, and there's nothing individual about it at all. They're just like a bunch of sheep doing the same thing. You talk about drinking the Kool-Aid, you know. And when here's a young man coming to my front door on a Saturday morning, I know him, so I trust him, and I'm going to open my door to him. And I know him and trust him, and my wife knows him and trusts him. My kids do. I've got two children, so I'm going to open my door to him. And my last name being Jekyll means that there is always the opportunity to make a joke, I guess, about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, I haven't heard that joke. I had people when I was a kid call me Dr. Jekyll. But now we're getting into an area that is an insult to me because he's referencing the evil side. If you know the story, Phil.
Yeah, we know the story. I mean, Dr. Jekyll is the normal doctor who is experimenting in his laboratory there in London. Robert Louis Stevenson's book was a bestseller back in the 19th century when it came out, and the man is experimenting with the animal side?
Yes, he's looking into the sort of the antimatter of human nature. Is there a beast within that we can release? Well, this is what this boy was referencing. When he came to my door with my family asleep, and he said to me with a straight face, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" He's asking me if Mr. Hyde is home. He was joking. I knew he was joking. But he, in so asking that question and really making that joke is what he was doing, he's saying that I am more animal than he is.
And do you really hear that? I mean, I don't know. Is that... Does that...
You don't know until you've walked a mile in a man's shoes, Phil, which is really what the book, a lot of what my book is about. So you can say, well, am I making a big issue? Unless you are black, you don't know what it's like being called the N-word. Unless you're Hispanic, you don't know what it's like to be called some of these names that people call you. Unless you're Chris Jekyll and you've lived with the people, adults and children, calling you Dr. Jekyll, until the joke is really old, and then all of a sudden, a young man who you've trusted, and by the way, my daughter has gone on social activities with this young boy, and now he's coming to my house and saying, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, I think he's, is Mr. Hyde home?" My reaction was to reach out, grab him by the shirt, because the first thing you're thinking, and I want you to write this down, there's people are listening, write this down, the first thing you want to do is grab him by the shirt, or grab him by his hair and pull him closer to you so you've got him within reach and you can deal with him.
And well, you grabbed him and pulled him and his head hit the door jamb.
That is correct, yes. In retrospect, was it a smart move? It probably was because I didn't know what to expect from him. And in order to get him under control, the fact that his head hit that door jamb, he was stunned for a moment, and perhaps that was a blessing. I don't know. I'm obviously the object of litigation because of that. Am I sorry I reacted that way? No, I'm not, because I have a wife and children sleeping just steps behind me. And
and I want to talk about this as we come back. We have to take another break, and we're going to get to some phone calls as well, because people are going to want to ask you. When your name is Chris Jekyll, and people are calling you Dr. Jekyll, and one day somebody comes to your house and calls you Mr. Hyde, okay, and it is a joke, and you acknowledge that.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay. You also were saying, though, that Mr. Hyde is the negative aspect of Dr. Jekyll, so therefore you're being sort of taunted as some kind of an animal.
Well, there's no question. And not only that, it's not just a taunt. It's a reference to me as some sort of a base or baser than a base animal than this young man. So, yeah.
All right, and so you felt at that moment you needed to act physically.
I did because I didn't know what his next move was going to be.
All right. We're talking with Chris Jekyll here, the author of Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. His name, Jekyll, he's gotten jokes about his name, just as an example, through his life as Dr. Jekyll. He had a neighbor's son come to his house and knock on his door early one Saturday morning and say, you know, refer to him as Mr. Hyde. His response was to physically attack this young man. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Our live streaming video of the show is happening right now. It is Phil TV in HD. We're talking here with Chris Jekyll, the author of The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century, and how we are not treating each other with any kind of dignity or respect. And there's no the use of language, the profanity, the obscenity, the sloppy, slob-like behavior, whereas there was a time when we behaved well. You are bringing out of your own life an incident that occurred, Chris, that a young boy came to the door, because your last name is Jekyll, and the kid said, is Mr. Hyde home? And you felt you needed to take some action. And
I did, Phil, but I want you to know, I say young boy, his name is, I'll give the first name of the young man, his first name is Joshua, and he was 17, so he's technically a minor, but big enough to come into that house and do some damage if I didn't preempt him. That's why I grabbed him, pulled him with my left hand as hard as I could, because I was literally balancing a couple of books in the other hand, and I was making breakfast for the kids, too, and his head hit that jam. I felt bad later, but at the time I thought I got myself a little bit of breathing room by stunning him, because if he's going to come to the front door and refer to me as Mr. Hyde, which is the twisted, perverted, sexually perverted, opposite side of Dr. Jekyll, I don't know what else he's capable of.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to get to a phone call here and just talk to some other folks here about this. We have Catherine on the line. Hi, Catherine. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so what I was saying was that I agree that there's lack of civility, but I think that the reaction on the part of Mr. Jekyll is a bit extreme, and that he was reacting rather than being proactive. And I think
this is Chris, Catherine. Can you tell me when you say extreme, what do you mean?
Well, I think it's just kind of ridiculous because he acknowledged that the boy was joking, and I'm not even sure that the boy even knew who Mr. Hyde was,
it's obvious. Well, of course he did, because he said, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, where's Mr. Hyde?" I don't know that it could be any more obvious. To your other point, he was joking. Well, surely we know, Catherine, that people are joking when they call someone the N-word. Or they're joking. I think we need to learn that even with a joke, we can hurt.
Well, to Catherine's point here, if I could, Chris.
Go ahead, Phil.
I don't know. You grabbed this kid. You bumped his head. You reacted with a fit of violence.
No, I don't know. No, it was not a fit of violence. Remember, I had a sleeping wife and children in the house. Okay.
Right. You had a sleeping wife and children. He said, is Mr. Hyde home? That's all he said. He did not raise his hands to you.
No, I will admit, I will give you all of that. I'll give you and Catherine all of that. What I'm telling you is I was preemptive. And in this day and age, and this is the point that my book makes, in this day and age, with the sloppy behavior that people have, you have to be preemptive. And so, Catherine, you can well imagine if your last name was Catherine. Let's say that someone came to your front door, Catherine, and they started shaking. violently and asking, is Katharine Hepburn home? Ha ha. Now, Katharine Hepburn had a very serious Parkinson's condition, as you know. If you know of the actress Katharine Hepburn, she shook very violently. That is a very crude and foul joke to make.
What does a woman do?
Yes?
I think that the issue belongs to the person who's making the comment and not to me. And I'm just personally tired of the political correctness that's so pervasive, and I think it's ridiculous
to react that way. I agree with you.
Unless the boy had a history of being threatening and you truly feared for your safety,
I think that's an overreaction.
And that's just my comment.
He'd called me Dr. Jekyll many of time.
He'd call you Dr. Jekyll?
Yes, he most certainly did. I find that rude. And then he says, is Mr. Hyde home? And I said, well, that's it. All bets are off. I'm not going to... And so if Katharine has someone come to her door and say, hey, Katharine, is Katharine Hepburn there? And they start shaking and laughing as if Katharine has Parkinson's disease.
Okay, what about it?
Well, you need my book too, Phil. And Katharine does too, I think.
All right, Katharine, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Dakota. Dakota, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Jekyll.
Hi. It sounded like you was just trying to make a joke. The kid was 17, and how old are you?
Yes, sir. I'm 51. I'm 51.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it's not like he asked, where's your money, when you opened the door. He acknowledged you.
Oh, no, you're right. But see, one of the reasons for my book, Dakota, is to see the other guy's, to see life from the other guy's shoes. You know, I think that's one of the problems we have when we're rude or insensitive. So I'm trying to look at this from the other guy's shoes, and I'm asking people to see life through my from my perspective. I'm there. My wife is asleep. My children, I am completely defenseless, and he comes to my door, and in that, you know,
makes
young,
a joke.
Youthful.
He makes a joke. My name is Dakota. I live in North Dakota. People come up to me and say, which one are you, North or South? If it's stupid, I just laugh it off and walk away. I'm 19. I have more sense than that.
But I'll tell you why that's not such an offensive joke, because when they say, which one are you, that means they're idiots for not knowing you're not a state, you're a person. In my situation, when he said, is Mr. Hyde there, he's directing that at me, that I'm Hyde. See, anybody who would think you're a state is a blithering idiot. But the
people are kidding when they say, which one are you, North or South?
Right.
Well, no, I know that. But still, they're saying, hi, look at me, I'm dumb. I don't know which, you know, that you're not a state. See, in this case, they're saying to me, you're Mr. Hyde, which means you're a sexual deviant. It means that you could be as some kind of slobbering lout, some sort of lurching thing. You saw the...
So you've taken that name, Hyde, and we all know the character, and you have applied that directly to you, and you say basically what that kid was doing was calling you a name.
Not just calling me a name, no. He was attacking my home.
Being too sensitive to me.
Sir, can I say something to you, sir?
Do you think that when
the Germans rolled into Russia at the beginning of 1941, the Russians were just being too sensitive?
Oh, come on. That's an absurd...
No, Mr. Hendry. You know, we do draw many great lessons from World War II, and we're told we can't use that as an example anymore because too many people use Hitler. I'm not using Hitler. I'm just using the German army going into Russia.
What about the German army going into Russia? You're saying that the Russians were...
This gentleman's saying that they're thin-skinned.
No.
Isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that what you're saying?
You're taking it too much to heart. He's younger than me. I'm 19.
And the other thing that I want to mention here is they're suing you because when you grabbed that kid's shirt, okay?
I pulled him. him into the house to have him in a closer, in a more confined space, so if he pulled anything, I'd be able to deal with him. And in pulling him into the house, he hit his head and was stunned momentarily. And I think they told me he had a concussion. I don't believe it.
And so you gave this kid a concussion as the result of him simply saying, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" Now,
again, you're saying simply, Phil.
Now, all right, but you feel it was a bad thing, and maybe it was. His parents don't get it, and at least two callers to my show now don't get it, you know.
That's why I wrote the book.
It sounds like an auxiliary citizens, please.
Yeah. Sir, a lot of people don't get it. That's why I wrote the book. So you need to read my book, The Loss of Civility. You need to read my book, The Loss of Civility, and you need to look into the loss of civilized behavior in the 20th century, because that's what's going on.
All right, but in the minds of so many people, and let me take a break here, 877-876-PHIL, and thank you, Dakota, for your call. If your name is Jekyll, and a guy comes to the front door and says, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" It is not like he's saying to you, "Is the sexual deviant and pervert and slouching beast that you are, you know, are you..." Well, anyway, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Chris Jekyll, the author of The Loss of Civility. Bad behavior. His name is Jekyll. Some kid called him Mr. Hyde, and he basically gave the kid a concussion. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I didn't give him a concussion. It wasn't like I gift wrapped a concussion.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We do have Chris Jekyll on the line with us. The book is called The Loss of Civility, and that is civilized behavior in the 21st century. The loss of civility, which you, Chris, include in that loss of civility, the experience that you had.
Well, you know, I want to say this, Phil. It was not my intention to make my experience the touchstone experience of the book. That's not what my intention was. My intention was simply to use as an example how I've been treated my whole life, because my name is Jekyll, and the juvenile behavior of people saying, "Where is Mr. Hyde? Where is Mr. Hyde? Hey, is Mr. Hyde home?" I reacted the way I think any normal person would react who'd been called a dirty name. To me, the name Hyde is a filthy name, because I've been made fun of my whole life. Because I have been the victim of people, accusing me of being Dr. Jekyll. And
well, they're not accusing you of being Dr. Jekyll. They're just saying your last name is Jekyll, ha-ha. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I understand what you're saying. But that's the beginning stages of what we experience in our society, which is this kind of prejudice. And so...
Are you saying that you're the victim of prejudice because your name is Jekyll?
I think that because my name is Jekyll, I am the victim of prejudice the same way that many people whose names are Asian, or the same way that many people whose names are Islamic or Muhammad. A guy whose name is Muhammad, you see. So then comes a man and says, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" And he's laughing, and he doesn't understand, perhaps, that he just called me a filthy pervert. But as soon as I grabbed him and pulled him into the house and bumped his head on the door, he figured it out real fast.
877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to go to a phone call now. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make a couple points here, and then, feel free to respond. Again, this is my own humble opinion, but this is a verbal altercation. It's somebody you know. And it's not a parking lot in the middle of the night or anything like that. And you essentially took it from a verbal altercation to a physical one.
Yes.
And hold on, against a minor, in addition.
Of course.
Now, when we talk about civility here, we're talking about the way people treat each other, right?
Of course.
Okay, so how can you write a book discussing civility and what's wrong with society when, in my humble opinion, again, you've contributed to that loss of civility by escalating this altercation from verbal to physical?
No, I did not. The loss of civility began...
Well, no, literally, you did escalate it, though.
Me,
you took it from verbal to physical. So,
well, he called me Mr. Hyde, which is like the N-word.
No, and that's the other point I had, and then I'll wrap it up. You're comparing yourself to somebody who has a racial slur tossed at them. This isn't a slur. It's a name.
Only because my name is Jekyll, and so when you've gone through your entire life being called Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, and now comes a man who says is Mr. Hyde home, it is an insult that I would not imagine anybody would understand were their name not Jekyll.
Well, that's...
For example, I have a slightly misshapen head. And all throughout childhood, I got teased about it. You know what I did? I grew longer hair. I didn't, into my 50s, start assaulting people because they said something.
You have a misshapen head. You're going to have to expect people to laugh at that.
Right. So
don't you think?
You expect people to laugh at your name. I mean, I just don't get it. Just why not just throw
it? They're calling me a pervert. They're calling me as if I've chosen to be a pervert.
I don't.
Wait a minute. Wait. Why would it be okay to laugh at this man's head? Why would it be okay to laugh at his head?
I think you have to. I didn't say it was okay, did I? I said you'd have to expect it.
Well, then he grew longer hair. So he did something to offset that ridicule.
And what am I supposed to do to offset the ridicule of some 17-year-old punk kid who's come to my home with my wife who sleeps naked? Not that that's an issue, but I worry about a family that is confronted by some kid calling me Hyde, Mr. Hyde, saying that I am therefore an animal.
But Chris, slouching kid. This was your neighbor who you knew.
Right.
You
somebody that
trusted.
You should have known.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. So I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. 877-876 Phil. Let me go over to. Not taking a break, but another call. Ron, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Chris Jekyll. I don't know why you'd laugh at a man who's got a physical deformity.
I don't know.
I said that you would. I think you would expect
call.
To be laughed at. That's all.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Hello. It sounds to me like you're trying to justify assaulting somebody. No matter what, especially if you're civil, you should never take an altercation to where violence, becomes the outcome. I also don't think that it is even anywhere near necessary, you comparing racial slurs where people have been killed over racism to a name that you think is dirty. I think that's way out of line. What if one of your daughters made a joke with somebody and they just popped off and attacked them? Would you think that was okay?
I think if the joke is if my daughter is attacked by a man, that's wrong. But if she's attacked by another woman, then I'd have to say, well, what did my daughter say? And let's say this, Ron. If I called your mother, your very own mother, a dirty word, I wouldn't blame you for wanting to physically assault me. I wouldn't blame you at all. When a man calls me his
answer.
Well, sir, that's a philosophical difference that I don't really want to engage you on right now. I'm just telling you what I did in that moment to defend my family.
Well,
to defend your family from a guy that called you, is Mr. Hyde there?
Yes, Phil.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I literally know a doctor named Richard Doom who works out of Ohio. He gets called Dr. Doom every day. And
yeah,
he can
sure.
make jokes
sure.
about it every day. You can look him
you
up. He's
make,
a chiropractor in Ohio. And he doesn't assault people because they call him Dr. Doom. No,
I think you're making that up. I think you're making that up to bolster your argument.
He works in Toledo, Ohio, and he's a chiropractor, and he does not assault people, and they joke with him daily. I have no reason to make it up. You can look it up.
They call him Dr. Doom, as D-O-O-M.
Yes, his name is Richard Doom, D-O-O-M.
Well,
they call him Dr. Doom, like a cartoon character.
And I can tell you there's a lot that goes on in this world, Ron. And you don't know what Dr. Doom has done to people that have called him, Look, if people call him Dr. Doom, isn't that his name?
Just like yours is Dr. Jekyll.
No, it isn't. I'm not a doctor. I've been trying to make that point.
Well, regardless, yeah. You should never assault somebody.
So if you were to call me Mr. Hyde, you'd have a problem. You'd have a problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you.
That's exactly right. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think that to say that you're not a doctor, this other guy's name is Dr. Doom.
Yeah, so people are going to call him Dr. Doom. What else are they going to call him? But I'm not a doctor. I'm a mister. And they say, hi, Dr. Jekyll. How's Mr. Hyde doing? To me, that is bringing out... That makes that joke. Now it becomes a serious matter. I don't know if I'm going to have a wife that is attacked.
I don't see it. I just don't get it. I don't think you're making your case very clear. How is it that you fear for the safety of your family when some 17-year-old kid comes to the door and says, "Is Mr. Jekyll?" Or excuse me, I'm sorry,
Mr. Hyde.
All right, is Mr. Hyde there? When this was a friend, a neighbor. Do you know the kid? Is he funny?
No, he's not funny. He thinks he's funny. Now he knows he's not funny after what I did to him.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk here with Chris Jekyll on his book, Loss of Civility. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and this is the talk show that takes you places other talk shows can't. And we're very happy to do that for you. We're very proud that we can do that for you. And we do it for very low wages, and we do it nightly, unless, of course, we're working on something else. Daddy has to make a living, and... In any event, we're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And if you go there, you can get a backstage pass, and you can actually watch our live streaming video of the show and not only enjoy the live streaming video of the show, but you can enjoy our archives, our podcast, which arrives in your iPod the next day. It's all there. And we think it's really worth it, man. So, by the way, with the Christmas season upon us, we have just what you need for the Phil Hendry fan in your house, the Phil Hendry Show shop. Our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies are in. We have restocked the sizes that we were out of. We have hats, we have T-shirts, we have shot glasses, we have mugs, we have our legacy CDs, both the physical CD as well as the digital downloads. So I think I probably missed a few things here, but...
That's pretty all of it.
But head on over to the shop as soon as you can. All right, with me on the line is Chris Jekyll. Chris is in... actually, in Jacksonville, Florida this evening. We're talking about his book, The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. And we have people who want to talk to you about this, Chris. There's questions having to do with the propriety, the appropriateness of your response to this. You know, we're talking about the loss of civility, and we're talking about treating each other better. Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's the point of my book, Phil. There's no question about it. That's exactly what I want to impart to everybody, and I think we do a pretty good job of it, if you'll permit me to say.
All right, but when your name is Jekyll, and you started the book because you had taken a lot of ribbing as a kid as Dr. Jekyll and so forth.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, and then a kid comes to your door, a neighbor, someone you know, a 17-year-old kid, and says, hi, did he call you Dr. Jekyll?
Well, that's it. That was the 1-2 punch that was... not taking into consideration any of the suffering that I had been through in my entire life. And we know this from the studies that have been done. And you can look at a lot of these different studies that have been done, and the papers are still on file in many of the universities, of people returning from wartime, concentration camps, and the level of the neurotransmitters, the chemical level of neurotransmitter in the brain as the result of this abusive treatment. You know, Phil, I don't want to use the name Hitler to make these, but I will use one named Tojo. Do you know Tojo?
Yes, the Japanese prime minister.
Yes, he was the militarist that ran Japan. And I will tell you that growing up as a young man, being called Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, and then having someone come to my door and say, is Mr. Hyde home? the Bataan Death March is something that men survived and many men died.
Whoa! I cannot allow you to do that, sir. And
no, you have to. Please allow me, Phil. I've walked in your shoes. Please walk in my shoes.
And I cannot allow you to do that. I will not allow you to come on here and talk about your experience being called Dr. Jekyll as a kid. And compare that to men who survived or were killed on the Bataan Death March. I'm just not going to allow that.
Well, you know something. That is your own personal prerogative, and I will say your own personal prejudice, that you will not allow me my moment, but you allow other people to have their moments.
Sir, I want you to have your moment. I cannot allow you to come on my radio show and do that. I will not allow you to make that comparison.
You have said so a number of times. And I will respect that, but you do not live in my skin. And when that kid called me Mr. Hyde, and all I could think of was a woman that I love very much and three daughters, and that I might lose them.
You were going to lose your daughter and your wife, your daughters and your wife, to a kid saying, is Mr. Hyde there?
This was a 17-year-old boy who had tortured me.
And you grabbed him and pulled him in and knocked his head, gave him a concussion.
Yes, I did.
And you're getting sued for that.
Well, you know something? I will tell you this, Phil, from the bottom of my heart. I hope other people can, and I'm sure they do. When it comes to protecting my family, you can sue me till the cows come home. I'm fine with that.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here tonight. Let's go over to a phone call. We have John on the line. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I just have a question for Mr. Jekyll. Mr. Jekyll, if you were so concerned about your wife and daughter, why did you drag the young boy in the house? Why wouldn't you just shut the door?
As I said, what you need to do when you're in a situation like that is you want to make sure that your adversary is not far away from you. You want to drag him within the perimeter of your reach. I didn't know what he was going to do. So I grabbed him and dragged him closer to me so I would have more control over the situation. And in so doing, I was able to neutralize him. And
this kid had not done anything, and you bumped his head against the door.
This kid had come to my door and had served fair notice that he might do something, yes.
And you drug him inside your house. Why wouldn't you step outside?
I think I just answered your question.
That's
do you want to ask it a different way? You can ask it.
No, you didn't. You answered that, but he just said, why not step outside?
I was reacting. It was a reactive move.
That's a pretty poor reaction.
Well, why?
Why?
Okay, this guy's an idiot. Do you?
What's that called? You know, the loss of civility. You just called him an idiot.
Well, he sounds stupid. Are you? Sir? You're asking
Sir?
Me.
Your book is called Sir? The Loss of Civility. You just called this man an idiot and stupid.
Well, I said, why? Yes,
sir. Sir.
Yes.
So, according to your book, you just contradicted yourself because you physically got in a physical altercation with your neighbor boy who was 17, and you're how old? 51?
Yeah, that is correct.
Come on, you've had a lifetime to learn.
You apparently don't listen too good. You know.
No, I think he's listening very well, and he's asking a question. Listen, John, I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think he's listening very well, and he's asking a question that's very logical. If you're writing a book...
Phil, have you ever had... Is your name Jekyll? Is your name Butts? Is your name any of these names that people take and abuse and mock? No, your name is Hendry. The worst thing that could have ever happened to you as a kid is maybe somebody mistook that as your first name. Were you ever called Henry?
And you bet, yeah.
All right, and I bet you think you suffered.
No, I don't think I suffered.
Well, I can tell you that you didn't. Compared to being called Dr. Jekyll and his Mr. Hyde home, being called a pervert, that's what Hyde was. If you don't know the book, the Robert Louis Stevenson novel, Hyde was a sexual, predatory pervert, which means anything that struck his fancy. That was Hyde.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know that aspect of the book, but believe you if you say that. Here is James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
My real issue here, and I want to be very clear before I even start, I would not begrudge Mr. Jekyll any of his hurt feelings that he's experienced through his life. You know, someone's pain is their pain, and their suffering is their suffering. Whatever we might think of it is not so much the point. My first issue, though, is one that I've heard echoed from other people, in that they're saying, okay, yes, you've had a lot of years to have to deal with this. The sensible response, it seems, will be to close the door and maybe call the police. We'll leave that aside, though. And
close the door and call the police.
I said we'll leave that aside.
It will only provoke him.
Don't worry about that right now. I understand.
It would only provoke him. The next time he would come over and say, is the ape man here?
That's fine.
Is the ape man here?
Sir, that's not my problem. The second issue is that your assumption that someone calling you Mr. Hyde means that they are invoking some sort of sexual deviant stature on you. You have to first believe that a 17-year-old in this day and age has any idea what the actual story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is about, which is laughable. But you know what? I don't know that that's the case at all.
I don't share your opinion.
Sir,
I'm sorry.
I think it's a very well-known story.
It's like asking, do you know that Moby Dick is about a whale? Of course we know Moby Dick is about a whale. We know it's about a whale. This is ridiculous, sir.
All right, don't argue, gentlemen.
No,
I mean,
it's not just that. Please let me finish. First of all, I'm a teacher, and I can assure you that the most that people in high schools nowadays know about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is there's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's about it.
Well, you're not doing a very good job teaching them, are you? You should have them...
Look, we're not here to talk about people's profession or the job they're doing. We're here to talk about your reaction. In the book you've written, The Loss of Civility, you have physically assaulted somebody who said, hey, is Mr. Hyde home? Most of the people that are calling here are thinking, this is a joke. Go ahead, James. I'm sorry to interrupt.
And that, well, Phil, you hit the nail on the head because that is really the issue. My only problem with anything that you've said or done here tonight, Mr. Jekyll, anything at all, or that you might have done to cause this situation to happen, or any of that, is that you had the temerity to write a book called The Loss of Civility. Instead,
that didn't take temerity, that took clarity. There's clarity in temerity.
Civilized person does not throttle someone who calls them a name. You are a child.
If the name portends some attack, physical attack.
Why would the name Hyde mean that?
Under no circumstances could that happen. Under no circumstances can you defend that. None.
Oh, I most certainly. I believe
that
I can.
You are failing miserably. You are failing miserably.
What if your name, can I ask you, I don't know what your last name is and I don't want to know, don't tell me, but let's say your last name, excuse my language, Phil, but you told me we could use the word. What if your last name was Ass? And people said, hey, Ass, and all the time, morning, noon, and night. Then some kid comes to the door and says to you, good morning, Mr. Ass. Is Mr., and then he uses the H word, H-O-L-E. Can I say that, Phil?
All right, you can say it, but it's a ridiculous comparison.
No, I'm asking the gentleman.
There is no comparison, sir. Mr. Jekyll, what I might want to do is not really the issue. What I would choose to do as a civilized person is, you write a book called The Loss of Civility, and the impetus for writing the book is you demonstrating how you yourself have lost civility.
Oh, I think you're missing the point.
No, sir, you are missing the point. And I cannot believe that you took time to put pen to paper and tell people that we have lost our civility.
Most certainly have.
The basis of your... I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. Okay? If the impetus for your book had been, this person came to my door and said, hey, Dr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde at home? And I explained to him why that was offensive and how it hurt my feelings, and then I helped him off my property or something of, along those lines, something that demonstrated how civil you were, then you writing a book called The Loss of Civility would not be so ridiculous. But you
well, I can
are,
tell you, sir, that if I said to that man what you just said I should have said it and offered to help him off of my front lawn, I would be betraying the memory of, you're going to laugh, I guess, Mr. Hendry, but of the thousands of Chinese and Burmese who died in World War II.
Come on. I can't believe you're making this comparison.
How can you begin to make that? Oh, my God. You are ridiculous. Sir, there are people
no, sir.
Whose blood has spilled
no, sir.
Because
no,
of
sir.
Their ethnicity, and you
right.
can call the name. There is no comparison.
Ned, for you to bring up the Bataan Death March.
I'm simply saying, Phil, I would be surrendering the same way the British did at Singapore.
Oh, bull crap.
Sir, your logic is flawed horribly. Horribly flawed.
I can tell you that in life, we face the same battles morally as well as sometimes physically, not on the scale, but we face it. We need the same courage that you need in wartime. That's what I'm saying.
Expressions about the Singapore and the Bataan Death March, I can't accept. I got to take a break. Thank you, James, very much. Great
Thank
call,
you,
and
Phil,
it was a very interesting
it.
Conversation. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And
well, wait a minute. You're giving him all accolades.
Hold on for just a moment here, Mr. Jekyll. 877-876-PHIL as we continue talking to Chris Jekyll about his book, The Loss of Civility, and how when a kid came to his house and said, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home?" he basically throttled the kid. That was a very good description. Throttled him, pulled him into the house, banged his head against the door, and about a lot of other things. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And on the line with me is Mr. Chris Jekyll, the author of the book, The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. You've heard a very good couple of points there, Chris. Do you want to respond to the loss of civility that you seem to have shown?
Well, Phil, I don't think that there has been a loss of civility. I think what was happening was a man standing and trying to defend himself for the first time for being called Mr. Hyde. My whole life I've been Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll. And now someone wants to step it up. They want to step up in class, as they say in horse racing. They want to go from a maiden, they want to go to a stakes race. They want to go from their 6 furlong, they want to go to a mile. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that they're going to go from calling me Mr. Dr. Jekyll, hey, Dr. Jekyll, hey, Dr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home? Now we go from the symbol of Dr. Jekyll, who was an intelligent, inquisitive man. He had a young lady who he was going to marry. He had a respected practice, and he had clients and patients that had great respect for him. Now, let's step up in class. This is going from the 6 furlongs to the mile and a half. Now let's call him Mr. Hyde, a sexual deviant, a man who his personal hygiene. I can't even believe that we're having this conversation. Now I admit to you that I should have held the young man for the police. And
well, what were you going to? What law did he break?
Well, you've heard of hate speech. Wow.
Hate speech. Hate speech is something that applies to racial invective. This is not hate speech.
Yes, it is hate speech. Yes, it is, Phil. Because
how is it hate speech?
Because by name, I was born with. I can't do anything about my name any more than someone can do anything about how big their nose is. So if you were born with a big nose, and
well, you can get your nose bobbed. You can have it, and you can have your name changed.
No, you can't have. You, yes, you can, but if we lived in a time before they discovered how to do that to noses, and before it was, before they had discovered how they could change people's names and have it not impinge on the system, if we lived in those days, I would be the victim of discrimination because my name is Jekyll, and because people, rather than taking me seriously, want to make jokes about me being a character in a book that was written over 100 years ago, looking like a fop, walking around in a big hat, and no one taking you serious. That's what I'm trying to say.
But, okay, no one taking you serious, and you being a victim of a racial crime, I got to tell you, I don't know if those two things go together. Let me go to a phone call here. I think this is this Jeremy or
yes,
Jerry?
Phil.
Go
Jeremy.
Ahead, sir. You're yes, on the Phil, Phil Henry Show with, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you on Modern Family. Mr. Jekyll, I'm just wondering, you had a father? Did you grow up with any brothers?
Did I grow up with brothers? No, I did not. I had a half brother, who was the son of my mother and another father. I had a very unorthodox upbringing, which lended itself to my insecurities. And that's something else we should understand about each other.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for that. But surely your father, Mr. Jekyll, had some brothers, and I mean. Have they not had these troubles in the past? How did they react?
That's a good question, yeah. Did these guys have to, you know, deal with this?
What guys?
Your father. They all had the name Jekyll.
No, I don't know if they did or not. If they did, you know, they probably did because this is a generational thing. It's the same as... Let me say this to you. The gentleman is Jeremy, right?
Yes.
Jeremy,
yes.
You have a southern accent. It may not sound like a southern accent to you, but it does to me. Would you like it if people kept saying, hey there, Huckleberry, how you doing there, Tom Sawyer?
Hey, I learned a lot. I'm from North Carolina. I was born in New Jersey. So I'm out.
All right, hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on there, Jeremy. The Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL with Chris Jekyll on how he was the victim of discrimination.
Phil Henry.
And why?
Because your name's Jekyll, and they called you Dr. Jekyll.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line here Chris Jekyll for just a few more minutes, a couple of more segments here, and we're talking about your book, The Loss of Civility, the fact that you grew up with the name Jekyll, and the fact that someone called you Mr. Hyde, and you wound up assaulting the guy, you know, and everybody is asking why. Why is it necessary to physically assault a man who just said, hey, is Mr. Hyde home making a joke?
I'm going to give you one here, Phil, and...
And then I want to get to some more phone calls.
No, I understand. I want to give you one here, Phil, and I think you're going to understand this. And I think your listeners are going to understand this very well. There was a football player, and I don't know... you probably saw him, Phil. He was a little bit before my time, but, you know, his name was Dick Butkus. Now, if ever there was a man blessed with an unfortunate name, it was that. And do you suppose that Dick Butkus, when he was a young man, and even as he got older and went into college, do you suppose someone said, hey, Butkus, hey, Butkus? It sounds juvenile.
There's no question.
Okay. And do you suppose that Dick Butkus closed that big hand of his? He was a linebacker, and I don't know how big that fist is that Dick Butkus could make. He was a big man. Do you suppose he closed that hand into a fist? And gave some people what for?
I don't doubt that he did. And I don't excuse that either.
You don't excuse what? You don't...
I don't excuse, hey, Butkus, and Butkus... Well...
If they say it enough times... Well, when someone...
But the name Hyde is not...
Well, the name Hyde is... And because when that young man came to the front door, there was something else I had to deal with, and that was the possibility that he wasn't just saying, is Mr. Hyde here, as in, is the evil twin of Dr. Jekyll here, but he was using the word Hyde for its other meaning, which is the posterior. Hi, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Butt, Mr. Ass. These are all very juvenile, very, very juvenile issues that we unfortunately all have to deal with. Only I have to deal with them every day of my life.
And every day of your life, someone is calling you Mr. Hyde, as in ass or whatever you said.
Every day of my life, I have to be on guard against someone who may want to wrong or do harm to my wife or my daughters and gain access to my home by throwing me off with, is Mr. Hyde there, making me angry enough so that I swing, miss, that person ducks under my arm and gains entry to my home.
Oh, my God. It's a scenario that I...
You can say, oh, my God, all you want. You're not me. You don't have to live in the hell that I live in and have lived in for 51 years.
The hell you live in. All right, 877-876-PHIL. I want to get over to another phone call here. This is Joni. Joni, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Hi, Mr. Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
I have so much to say because I've been waiting for about 2 hours to talk to this gentleman. I have four teenagers in my car. I am a black woman. My name is Joni. And I was growing up in my life with someone talking to me with Joni Loves Chachi. And I love the show. I love the one. I have nothing against race. But for Mr. Jekyll to get on the phone and to have a comment saying or even refer what he has gone through about his last name and to refer that as or compare that to racism, he can't even compare. And Mr. Jekyll, let me explain to you, and do not interrupt me. You have used every excuse in the book to try to say it's racist to you, it's hurtful to you. You don't know what racism is. You have not experienced racism, have not gone through racism. You haven't been a slave. You haven't gone through being tortured because you're black. You don't know what black people go through or Hispanics go through. Never ever compare what your last name have ever compared to being racist or comparing it to being in a fearful state of mind, to compare violence with some child. You have used in this whole segment and compare this young man to a man or a boy. Now, which one is it? Because this seems like a juvenile, and you acted like a juvenile.
When he called me Hyde, when he said I was a Hyde, when he said, well, you asked me a question. You asked me a question. You asked me a question.
No.
And I will answer your question. When he called me Hyde, I assumed that he was, it was, those were fighting words.
You cannot compare with what your last name is, because my name has been taunted. Don't ever compare that. Or being black, never again. You don't know what it is or what it is.
No one thinks you're black. If they called you Joni, they don't think you're black. They think you're white if they called you Joni.
What?
She said Joni Loves Chachi.
Knowing what fear is. Has anyone raped your wife? Has anyone raped your children? Don't ever compare.
That morning, my wife could very well have been raped that morning had I not said to Mr. Hyde or to the kid, don't you call me Hyde.
Let's know anyone else. You deserve to be in jail.
Nonsense.
And you are wrong for what you have done. Don't you ever touch a young man, a woman, or a child.
Well,
and you
I had to.
Excuse that
I
your last name is in fear. There is no excuse.
My name is Jekyll.
If you was my child, I would have put you in jail. I would have put you under the jail. And I
you can't put me in jail for having the name Jekyll. You can't put me in jail.
All right, okay, let's hold on for a minute. Hold on. I want to ask you, Mr. Jekyll, what your point was about Joni's name.
Okay, her name is Joni. And she wasn't offended by people calling her Joni Loves Chachi like there are a couple of Puerto Ricans?
It's a name. It's a name.
Right, but weren't you offended?
Please go on and don't interrupt me. No, my name did not offend me. It did not hurt me because somebody said something about my name.
They're calling you a Puerto Rican. They're saying you're in love with a Puerto Rican.
Excuse me. My name is nothing. My name is nothing. It's not going to kill me.
Your name's nothing.
About my name. Excuse me. Interrupt me. It's not going to kill me. Someone say something about my name. That's stupid. That's
they said that you were in love with a Puerto Rican and living up in Spanish Harlem.
Oh, come on.
Put your hand on the wand. That's childish. You have used an excuse in a book to put your hands on another person, and that is no excuse.
Absolutely. If they threaten my wife or my daughters, I will put my hands on them. They called me Hyde.
All right. Okay. All right. I think the point here, and it's a good point, Joni, is that you cannot compare your whatever you've been through with the name Hyde or Jekyll, you can't compare that to race.
You know how I can compare it to race? I can compare it to race this way. When they call me Hyde, they're basically calling me a monkey. Now,
well, you
that's
know
not human. That's a monkey.
When I was a child, you know what I was told? Words don't hurt you. Because it seems like to me you have a juvenile mind. It seems to me that you want to use that excuse to put your hands on another person. But I guarantee you, if you was black, and I guarantee you if someone did that to you, you would not even survive the next day the way they would torture a black human being or whether they would torture a Hispanic human being.
Black people are used to it.
Don't interrupt me. We are
used to it, but as a white man, I'm not used to it. I'm not used to being mocked and being compared to someone's butt.
Human beings. That is no excuse.
Absolutely. All right, Joni, thank you. Very good call, Joni.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear, for your call. Your phone is...
You know, I think I resent very much the fact that her phone was tough to hear, and she was making some pretty ridiculous... She's saying to me that she... Well, I don't...
She made... Everything she said was absolutely right, and I think that when it comes to being offended by words, we've spent a couple of hours talking about somebody calling you Hyde. The name of the book is The Loss of Civility. I'm sure there's much, much more to talk about than just your experience.
There is. Indeed, there's much more to talk about. The reason why I brought that into the discussion, Phil, is because of the fact that it was a personal experience of mine. If you look at people's names, my goodness, my name, Jekyll, and what I've been put through, it may not be anything to Joni or to other people, and that's fine. I may say to Joni, well, I don't know anything about your experience, and so it goes. But when you grow up with a name like Butts, B-U-T-T-S, and look at these ridiculous jokes... Life Under the Grandstands by Seymour Butts. What if that was your name, your real name? You see? So...
You wrote a whole book about people's names?
No, I did not write the book about names.
Well, that's what you've been discussing with us here for an hour and a half. People's weird names. 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to another phone call here. We have Patrick. Patrick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes.
You have a great show there.
Thank you.
All I wanted to say is, as a kid growing up, my mom was a school teacher, and of course I was made fun of, and they're like, oh, you're the teacher's pet. Also, I got made fun of because of my appearance, because I was bigger than the other kids, so I got called, you know, like the fat kid or... fat boy and whatnot. And also, my Spanish name is actually Patricio. And they're like, oh, here comes Patricia. You just got to ignore these people. People are going to be childish. People are going to be cruel. And
yes,
eventually, they're going to get tired of... Don't interrupt me.
Yes, Patrick. I don't mean to interrupt you, Patrick, but you're comparing apples to oranges. The fact that you went through life as a big kid, yes, that's hurtful. But I'm talking about the threat to a woman and her sleeping daughters.
Okay,
see?
For one thing, a 17-year-old kid, you've known him for quite a while because he's a next-door neighbor. He is not going to do anything. Insults are not going to kill anybody or severely injure anybody. You got to wake up and smell the coffee of what is going to be a threat and what is not going to be a threat, especially if it's the next-door neighbor kid. You know, already know, of course he's going to tease you. Kids are going to be kids. But you got to realize it is not.
It's not the same as calling someone fat. It's the when he said Hyde, he was saying, "I got your number, ape man."
Excessive force is not necessary. Excessive force is not necessary. If you had,
I didn't understand the word you just used. What word did you say?
Excessive force.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Force. Quit interrupting me.
It sounds sort of like you're saying except for force.
No, excessive force.
Okay. All I'm saying is, if you have that big...
How big were you?
I don't think that's any of your concern right now. And quit interrupting me.
Okay.
quit interrupting me.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is, no matter if you're being called a name or they're making fun of your last name because of the story, just ignore it. And if it's that big of a problem, don't let them in your house anymore. Tell his parents. Have a conference with them. There's a solution to everything. Excessive force to a kid is
when
never...
When you say don't let him in my house, that is part of the lawsuit because they're saying that I invited him in and then beat him up. Technically, I did invite him in by grabbing him and pulling him into the house. Then I began to beat on him because he had said to me, as I've tried to be very clear here, Patrick, he said, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" Now, I understand that to you that's not an insult, but to hundreds of years of the Hyde name, and my name is Jekyll, so it's not even Hyde, it's an insult to anyone named Jekyll because now they're saying, "Can I see your dark, black, sick side?" You see?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. What does that mean, wow?
You got to be kidding, man. Are you?
Really?
Excuse me?
Really?
This was what I talked to the other lady about. She doesn't know me any better than I know her. You don't know me any better. You tell me that you were overweight or what have you. Okay, I accept that. Now I tell you what my hell is, what the pit of human filth that I live in, and you want to laugh at me. You're both going, you're poo-pooing what I said.
Okay, well, the thing is, you objected to people saying, hello, Dr. Jekyll. I would be honored if someone called me doctor, you know, as part of humor. Come on.
What? I don't get that. What do you mean you'd be honored
humor.
If you're not a doctor? Well, they're going to be calling you doctor to make fun of the fact that you're not a doctor.
Haven't you ever heard people say, "Hey, doc, how you doing, doctor?"
Humor. Yes, I've heard that, and they were doctors.
No, sometimes they say, "Doc."
Only Bugs Bunny. Oh, you guys are. It's a pretty sad story. When I'm on a radio show, and now you guys have reduced yourselves to bringing up Bugs Bunny as a way of defending your arguments.
It's called humor.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Good call. And we're going to take a break here as I try and. Because I was almost going to break out laughing there. I was almost going to break out laughing there when Mr. Jekyll started to act incredulous that I mentioned, you know, Doc, and he brings up Bugs Bunny. Like, that's my big argument of the hour. I just pulled out my smoking gun argument, man. Bugs Bunny. All right, we'll be right back here. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more from Chris Jekyll and his book, The Loss of Civility, in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Who's your bitch? Are you talking about me?
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to our program. Just a few more seconds here with Chris Jekyll as we talk about his book.
Mr. Hendry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I do want to thank you very much for having me on your program. I don't think that I said that, and I do appreciate it. I know we've had our differences on the program, but please accept my thanks.
Well, I'm very happy to have you, Chris. I really am.
I know it's been contentious, but you know something? I hope someday I can write another book, perhaps a better one, that will get people to understand, you know, what I'm trying to say.
And, you know, if I'm not getting it, excuse me for being, you know, dumb.
No one's dumb. Let's not say that. Let's say that we just have a long way to go in understanding each other.
But as far as I can tell, you're, you know, kind of hanging your hat on this thing that your name is Jekyll, and you've been called Dr. Jekyll. Now a guy called you Mr. Hyde, you know.
Oh, but it doesn't end there. They'll say things like, "Dr. Jekyll, do you ever see Robert Louis Stevenson anymore?" And that's not really offensive so much as it's just tiring. It's tiring to have to stop and to acknowledge, isn't isn't that funny? You just said Robert Louis Stevenson. He's, you know.
Okay, let me get to some phone calls. I've got Norma hanging on the line. There's so many questions I still would like to ask you, but we're running out of time. Norma, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Right. I've been listening for quite a while, and it's hard for me to understand how, Mr. Jekyll, you can imagine that you're a civil person because you interrupt everybody who tries to get a point in. But I only have just one
thing. Well, that one lady, I didn't interrupt that lady, Joni. She just kept on going and going and going.
Well, you kept trying to interrupt her, but she was pretty persistent and just hung right in there. But I only have one thing to say. I understand how you feel about your name and people insulting you, but remember this. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is just a story. It was not about you. People may try to make it about you, but it isn't about you. So, as a mother of a former teenager, all I can say to you is, if your home is your castle, then you have right, and it should be. We all should consider it that. This young lad, who's being a smart aleck, and you knew it, all you had to do, since it's your home, is say, listen, punk, it's too early for this. Go home and come back later. And because you're the grown-up.
When I'm not here and my wife is alone, maybe, I can't take that chance.
Listen,
Norma,
let me tell you something. If your wife lives with you, if she doesn't know how to talk back by now, it's over.
I want to ask you, as an intelligent woman, because you sound like one, what would you do then if someone looked at you, and your name is Norma Jekyll, and someone came to your door after years of being called Dr. Jekyll, or, you know, maybe they called you Mrs. Dr. Jekyll, I don't know, and they say to you, hey, Mrs. Hyde, you know, where does it end?
I'll tell you where it would end. That wouldn't bother me in the least because I know it's a story, and whoever's trying to insult me doesn't have that ability. Nobody can insult me for something that doesn't mean anything to me.
Wouldn't bother you in the least?
Not at all.
This is what I'm talking about, Phil. We don't even know any longer when someone is comparing us basically to human waste.
Mr. Hyde might have been a negative or, you know, what do you want to call a guy's, an anti-hero, antagonist, a bad guy in literature and in the movies. But we have fun with those characters. But to say that it would be like saying to me, somebody calling me Godzilla or something, you know, I mean.
When would anyone call you Godzilla?
I mean, if they thought I was being monstrous about something.
I asked Norma, Phil, because you just took us way off the point. Norma, you wouldn't be offended by being called Mrs. Hyde.
Not at all.
What if somebody, when they said that, looked around behind you and said, hey, Mrs. Hyde, and they were looking at your, you know.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't.
All you gotta do is ask them.
All you gotta do is ask them, exactly. Thank you, bud. And we're here every night and Saturday night, and we have our video cast at philhendryshow.com. And we have our podcasts every day, so if you miss the show, you just plug in the old iPod or whatever you plug in, however you plug it in and whatever you use to plug it into, and you can catch the show that way. That's a beautiful thing. You can also get our Classic Phil podcasts, which are free by way of iTunes. Those are free. And you can also visit our shop and check into our news feed, and you have exclusive access to comment on the stories that we put up there. Now, we do not edit or censor our comment section. And so there are a lot of different kinds of comments you're going to see. Lots of different kinds of people, a lot of different kinds of weird asses that are commenting there. And so I don't, you know, it was so out of control at one point that we finally decided, okay, you know, you're going to have to at least give us a username, because everybody was like making up names, and it was getting pretty radical. But we have this, like I said, if you're a subscriber, you can post any comment you want there. We do not censor at all, never have. We got close, but we haven't. That's just one of the many features at our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's well worth it. In fact, we think it's the only subscription in the entire radio game, with the exception of maybe Bubba's, Howard's, you know, a couple of friends of ours, that's worth it. 877-876-7445. Very happy to bring on the line here Harvey Wireman, retired attorney at law. Harvey has had a long and distinguished career. Actually went to law school by way of the United States Marines way back when. Harvey then worked with the ACLU, was a defense attorney, a criminal attorney, I should say, for some time. Has worked pro bono for a lot of different causes and joins us from his home in San Marino, California. Harvey, good evening. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
And tonight we're going to talk about Anthony Weiner. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a disgrace. I think he has disgraced himself, and I think he's disgraced the office. And you know, it's unheard of. It's uncalled for. And I don't think, and I wouldn't make the claim, Phil, that when I was a young man, we didn't have people that were this bereft of morality. I would never say that. But what I would say is I think they had a little more sense, you know, and maybe that's because you and I have, you know, discussed that the press protected a lot.
The press covered a lot of stuff up back then, didn't they?
They did. They protected a lot of these people, but it's a different ballgame now. And if you're going to be a congressman, you have to understand the rules of the road and act appropriately. And obviously, he didn't. Now, I know you wanted to talk to me tonight because I have some viewpoints on whether or not this man is should be run out of office.
Well, the questions, I think, are these. The questions are, is this man, Anthony Weiner, has he lost all ability to do his job, which is to represent the people of his congressional district, given the fact it's possible he still could be accused of a crime, correct?
Yes, he still could be accused of a crime.
All right, so that's one aspect of this. Number two, will he be accused of a crime? And if so, what crimes? And number three, does he quit or doesn't he? You know, everybody's talking about he's ought to quit, he ought to quit, he ought to quit. I don't think I've heard anybody say that he shouldn't, except until I heard you, Harvey, and you don't think he should.
I don't think he should, because I think there's a couple of things that haven't been taken into consideration. Number one, you know, he's a man who is a congressman. He is not a man who is doing a job that, however important, is not a job that is not a job that's vital. I believe that a man like a man like Anthony Weiner should get what we call in golf a mulligan, if you want to call it.
A mulligan, huh?
Yeah.
That's when you get another shot.
I think he gets another shot, and I'll tell you why. Because he should have a one-time exemption from prosecution, and there's a good chance he could get prosecuted for the would you call it Twitter?
Yeah, that was the.
All right, he tweeted these pictures to an underage girl.
And that's serious.
Well, let's slow down, okay?
It's not serious that a 17-year-old underage girl might have gotten these pictures?
We don't know that a 17-year-old girl did. What we understand is that there was a 17-year-old girl that he had a conversation with. Now,
all right, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
If he was found out that it was a 17-year-old girl that got these pictures, does he get prosecuted?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
Because, as I said, it is a very high-profile learning experience, and he can become the face of this kind of problem. Anthony Weiner could be there to espouse what happens when you, you know, take a picture of yourself in that state and you send it to a girl that's 15 years old. You can get yourself into some very, very serious problems very quickly. And so, no, I don't think he should resign. And that's not my only reason.
Okay.
The other reason I have for him not resigning is that he's the only, and I speak as a Jew, we don't have a lot of Jews in Congress. And I'm not saying it's because of bigotry. I'm not saying it's because, they just don't have a lot of Jews. And if he resigns, now we lose a Jew. And
well, what does that mean? What is that? Is that the same as an African-American?
Well, yes, I think it is, because if you want to paint things in terms of ethnicity and special interests, Anthony Weiner is not just a Democrat, he's a Jew, and I'm a Jew. And I would take note, you know, I'm a lawyer, and everyone thinks every lawyer's a Jew. Well, that isn't the case, so we don't need to have more Harvey Weiermans. We probably could use a few more Phil Hendrys in the law profession, but not so in politics. So that is important to me. But mostly, I don't think he should resign because he's got a lot of work to do for Obama. And Obama needs all the swinging you-know-what he can get. So...
All right, well, let's take a look at what you just said, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
All right, Harvey Weiermans is our guest. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You just said that Weiner shouldn't resign because, number one, there's an opportunity for him to become the poster boy for this kind of problem, so that as long as he is in Congress, we are reminded of the responsibilities and the duties and the pitfalls of that kind of responsibility. Number two, he should not be prosecuted for a crime because he is one of the few Jews serving in Congress, and there'd be one less Jew.
That's correct, yes.
And the third one's the one I think I got the most problem with. Obama needs him.
Why do you say you got a problem with that?
Well,
regardless of whether you... I thought you liked Obama.
I like any president trying to do a good job, but here's the thing. You keep this guy in office because he is a help to Obama. Now you got people screaming politics.
That's not politics. What do you mean, screaming politics? He is. Is this man not one of the pivotal players for the Democrats in the House of Representatives?
Yes.
Then why would you want to get rid of him?
And if I'm a Republican, I'd want to get rid of him.
And you're telling me that I'm playing politics. See, you know.
No. You're missing my point. I'm saying that this should not have anything to do with politics. If he broke the law, it shouldn't have anything to do with politics. If he sent these images, whether or not it was against the law, it shouldn't have anything to do with politics. If he offended, you see what I'm saying?
I'm speaking to you as a practical individual, and I'm telling you right now, just speaking to you as a supporter, as just an objective observer. If you lose this guy Weiner, then what the Republicans will do to the Obama administration and agenda, they'll carve it and slice it and they'll cut it to pieces. They'll cut it to ribbons. You got to have guys like this. So,
and you're saying that as an objective person who's not necessarily an Obama fan?
That's exactly right. I'm looking at a practical solution to the problem. If you keep him in there, Obama's got a fighting chance along with all the other Democrats. But if you take him out, you won't recognize the Obama. History will not be able to recognize the Obama administration. It'll be carved up so bad.
We're talking with Harvey Weiermans. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Harvey, it's interesting talking with you.
Which means what? It means that I had a... You think I'm an idiot, don't you?
No, not at all.
Because I was listening to some of the comments off air. I'm not on here as a Democrat, you understand?
No, but that's what I'm having a hard time with. You're not a Democrat or Republican, but you don't want to get rid of this guy Weiner because it'll hurt Obama if you do.
It hurts Obama. It's a cheap way of getting at Obama. If you're a Republican, let me just ask you a question. If you're a Republican and you want to get at Obama, But you know you got a guy named Anthony Weiner standing in the way, and suddenly out of heaven falls this gift. This gift from heaven, and it happens to be these pictures that this stupid ass sent. Okay. You are gonna, you can't, you know full well that you gotta, you do that. What I'm trying to say is,
What are you trying to say here?
I'm trying to say that Republicans know that there's a guy somewhere in their ranks that does the same thing. So you gotta take it and run with it. And I'm just saying that the Democrats can't afford that, because the Republicans are going to try to get this guy to resign regardless.
The Republicans are going to try to get Weiner to resign, and they'll claim it's a moral thing.
Yes, but what they really want to do is they want to cut Obama to pieces. They don't give a... I don't think there's a Republican out there that cares whether a 15-year-old got it or a 3-year-old. I think what they want is to get Weiner and to throw him under the wheels of a passing train. Forget about a bus. Forget about throwing them under the wheels of a bus. That's for kids. That's kid stuff. That's chump change. That's punk stuff. I mean, they want to take Weiner and throw him under the wheels of a passing freight train. Right under that metal wheel. Have you ever seen the way...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman with us, an attorney at law who's talking about Anthony Weiner. Should he resign? No. Anthony Weiner should stay in office, according to Mr. Wireman, because he would be a great poster boy for this kind of a problem, because the job he does is far too important, because it's a great learning experience. And he's Jewish. They don't have a lot of Jews in Congress, and I'm quoting Mr. Wireman, and Obama needs him. Now, none of that addresses the issue at hand, which is the very aberrant behavior of this man, borderline criminal behavior of this man, his own party wanting him out. So is there any reason to keep him in? And we're going to continue our discussion with Harvey Wireman, and you're welcome to join in, folks, at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Oh, before I forget, I want to tell you all about one of our great sponsors, and I always like talking about these great guys over there at Life Change Tea, because they help extend the healthy life of your loved ones or yourself by simply taking a beautiful glass of tea or two a day, Life Change Tea, that is, an all-natural, all-organic blend specially formulated to detoxify. That's what the ball game's all about, you know? It doesn't matter what age. All of this garbage we got, you know, it collects. And this and it's not the obvious thing you're thinking of either, bud. It cleanses your not only your colon, but your blood, your liver, your kidneys. Detoxifies and cleanses all of that. And this is particularly good and effective if you want to lose weight, believe it or not. If you want to lose weight, you'll benefit from this great-tasting, non-caffeinated tea. It's called Life Change Tea. There's a 45-day money-back guarantee on all Life Change Tea. No gimmicks, just results. A happier you. So here's what I want you to do. Go to their website, getthetea.com, GETTHETEA.com, or... you can call this number, 928-308-0408, 928-308-0408. GetTheTea.com, one of our great sponsors, Life Change Tea, and please tell them that when you visit them, Phil Hendry sent you from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, Harvey Wireman on the line with us from San Marino, California, as we continue our discussion here of Anthony Weiner. The most serious issue, in my opinion, Harvey, and we'll take your phone calls too, folks, at 877-876-PHIL. The most serious issue to my manner of thinking, even if it's not yet been stated or claimed or proven, But there's a possibility some of these pictures found their way to underage women.
Well, I don't see that as a problem. And
you don't see that as a problem?
No, I do not. I don't see it as a problem at all. I see that there are some people that will try to make it a problem. And I see that there are some people who will try and turn it into coin a phrase, a federal case, you know. But this is a United States congressman. And there is an office that this man holds. And
no, hold on for a minute. I'm talking about...
I'm listening to what you're... I'm trying to answer your question, though.
No, I don't think you are. If Anthony Weiner sent pictures to underage... We already know he had a conversation with a 17-year-old. We already know that the guy stood in front of a press conference and was asked the question, did any of these pictures go to young women? And he couldn't answer. He said he didn't know.
He answered the question. He said that they didn't.
No, he did not. He said that he didn't. Maybe some did.
Well, my position is this, if you let me finish.
Go ahead.
My position is this, that Anthony Weiner may have sent these photos, graphic though they may be, to an underage woman. But I would ask you a question. If you have a daughter, and I want people to be objective, I'm an attorney, and I've worked as an attorney ever since I was a very young man in the Marine Corps. I will tell you that I've got a daughter and I have a son, and if she were 12 or 13 and she got a picture of this guy's package, I guess is how you say it, in the mail or however they deliver these things, there are worse things in this world.
But that sounds so partisan.
No, hold on for just a minute. Hold on.
That sounds so there are worse things in this world. Even the Democrats themselves, Harvey.
Hold on for just a minute, if you don't mind. I understand that the Democratic Party wants him out. But they're not thinking with their head. They're thinking, all they're doing is reading the poll, the Gallup polls and everything. People, if you sell the you've got to explain these things to the American people. You say to the American people, look at the good work this man has done. Look at the years of service that he's put in. Look at the way he has served his constituents. Look at the way that he has fought and fought. And even if you didn't agree with him, even if you didn't agree with what he did, even if you don't agree with any of that, you have to admire the work that he put in. And are you going to take all of that and throw it out because your 12-year-old daughter opened up a Twitter account that maybe you didn't even want her to have, but she opened it up anyway and broke the rule that you gave her. She opens it up and there is this guy's, you know, from the waist down. Are you going to throw out...
Yes, I am.
Are you going to throw out... Let me finish. Are you going to throw out everything? You're going to throw out a man's life's work. Is that what you're going to do?
Yes. And this whole idea that the woman... that the little girl, I should say, opened up a Twitter account even though I told her not to. What is that about?
If you're a father or a mother and you tell your daughter you do not go on this Twitter, I don't want you on it, I don't like the creeps that are on it, I don't know what's on it, and she does anyway, and Weiner sends her a tweet and there's a picture of it, whose fault is that? Is that his? It's not his. It's hers. These are things that people are not taking into consideration.
I don't understand that. I don't see that at all.
Well, if you don't see that, anybody listening understands. I didn't force... My daughter opens up a Twitter account, and then Anthony Weiner wants to send her a picture of it. She shouldn't have opened up the Twitter account, is the point. Now,
all right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. So Anthony Weiner, even if this picture found its way into the Twitter account of an underage girl, according to Mr. Wireman, he should not be forced to resign. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Line, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, Harvey Weierman, and we're talking with Harvey's an attorney at law. We're talking about Anthony Weiner and what's the worst possible thing that could happen, and again, the possibility that these pictures or any of them found their way into the Twitter account of an underage woman. Now, we don't have any evidence of that.
Yes, and if I could interrupt, Phil, I wish you would make that point.
I'm making the point now.
But you have not made that point in this hour, and I think people are having the impression that this man sent pictures, these pictures of himself to women, to children.
All I know is what he said, okay?
I know what he said.
Well, he said that maybe. Maybe. He didn't say no. He didn't know.
Well, how are you supposed... We are missing the point here. This is a United States congressman. You were talking about if your daughter got a picture of his... Are you telling me you want this guy fired? I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Yes, I'd want him fired. I'd want him arrested.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you may think this is stupid. What if Abraham Lincoln sent a...
Oh, come on, Harvey.
No. If Abraham Lincoln, you're telling me that has no...
That's a ridiculous hypothetical that, you know, if you got to reach for an extreme like that...
That's not an extreme. I'm saying that in some instances... It's no longer a crime. You should be flattered that your daughter...
I'm going to be flattered that my daughter got a picture like that? You got to be crazy.
Well, then I go back to the question about Abraham Lincoln. Do you want Abraham Lincoln fired from the job that he had as President of the United States, who saved this country, if he sent a picture of it to your kid?
You're not even talking about the Abraham Lincoln that I know from history.
No, you got an idea that Abraham Lincoln was some kind of an altar boy. Didn't you tell me that Lincoln liked women?
You know what? Yes, he liked women. Yes, he liked women. And he was very familiar with women before he got married. As President of the United States, he was a faithful husband.
Well, I don't know that that's the case.
And for you to bring him up in this context, I think, really cheapens the... there's no point. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to Catherine in Tucson. Go ahead, Catherine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good morning.
In my opinion,
this man would defend a rapist because a woman happened to walk past him wearing a miniskirt, and he couldn't possibly restrain himself. Because a woman wore many skirts.
No, ma'am. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm not talking about rape now. But what if Abraham Lincoln had you pinned on a car?
I'm not talking about rape. I'm saying you would defend a rapist because you are defending this no good Nick and against this type of thing. Just because he was elected doesn't. Means absolutely nothing. He was elected to represent the people. He's distracting the people from the job that has to be done in this country at large. The man needs to go. Pure and simple. Republicans can get away with this. Democrats should not be able to.
Mr. Henry would not answer. He wouldn't answer my question. I ask you, if Abraham Lincoln pinned you down in an alley one night.
Wait a second. We're not going to be talking about that.
You're crazier than Anthony Weiner. I got to hang up.
Well, fine, you can hang up, but the question still stands. If that woman was walking down the street one night, Phil, and Lincoln jumped out from an alley and dragged her in against a garbage can...
Why in the hell would you talk like that?
Because we have to begin to discuss the... If you want Anthony Weiner out of his job, okay. All right, fine. I'll be the first guy to go to his office. I'll be the first guy to grab him by his lapels, and I won't show him the door. I'll open a window, and I'll say, Weiner, you see that? That's about three floors down. You see your car, don't you? And he'll say, yeah, I parked it near the front door because I knew I had to move some boxes today. I said, well, guess what? You don't have to worry about moving boxes. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. I'm going to send you into your car right now. And I would lift him with what strength God still gives me. And
I understand. So you'd be the first guy to get rid of him.
Yes.
But it just so happens that we've got a problem now, you say. And the problem is Abraham Lincoln.
No, it's not Abraham Lincoln.
Well, your point is, I know what your point is. Your point is, how can we fire a man from a job like United States Congressman when we could very well be firing from the job someone who is brilliant, someone who's going to help the country, someone who's this and that.
That's exactly correct. And on top of that, even more to the point, I think any member of Congress, because of the job they have, which is essentially so pressure-packed that the fate of the free world rests on their shoulders.
All right, Harvey, I mean, you're giving a speech now.
Will you allow me? Mr. Henry, you invited me on your program.
But you're giving a speech now, and I don't think you're addressing the problem.
I'm addressing the problem very, very well. You don't want to hear the answer. And Mr. Henry, I'll tell you something else. I took time away from my dinner tonight so I could sit here and talk with you about this problem that you are... Hold on for a minute, will you?
What is that?
I'm making some soup. You got a problem with that? I took time away from my dinner tonight. I had nothing to eat. I had nothing to eat. I'm 81 years of age, and I had nothing to eat tonight.
I'm sorry.
And I took time out of my night, and usually I'm in bed. My daughter's here, and my son-in-law and my grandkids are here. Okay, and I've given up my bedroom to the grandkids. I got to sleep on a sofa tonight. So you'll pardon me if I'm a little bit... It needs a little more time. You'll pardon me if I'm a little bit more, Hold on for a minute. Would you please heat that up somehow? Because if this microwave doesn't work. Yeah, that's fine. I'm in the kitchen right now, Phil. So here's what I'm saying.
All right, I understand what you're saying, that you took time out and you are entitled to be heard. I'm offended that you would talk about Abraham Lincoln.
Then I'm offended you're talking about Anthony Weiner.
Abraham Lincoln didn't send a picture of his genitals to anybody. Not that we know of. History has never recorded such an event. History has never recorded any kind of an event, any kind of an action by Abraham Lincoln that would compromise his morality, integrity, or the office of the president. There was never any hint of that with Abraham Lincoln. Not to say that there wasn't with other presidents. And I'm not talking about guys like Kennedy. Going back further, Harding, you know.
Oh, Harding. Harding was an animal. Harding was a walking, crawling animal. He had him going out the front door and...
All right, fine. I don't know and I don't care. But if we're talking about Anthony Weiner, that's who we're talking about. And to say that the President of the United... to bring Abraham Lincoln, that's kind of almost like the Hitler... What are you doing, man?
I'm going to heat up this soup. It's ice cold. Ice cold. Hold on. Give it to me. Boy, that's lousy Lipton soup. All right, you were saying?
Do you need to heat anything else up?
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right, what I'm saying is the following thing.
Do I need to heat anything? He asked me if I need to heat anything else up.
Who's in there anyway?
I got the guy, the butler. Eddie. You wish you had a butler named Eddie. Watch this. Hey, Eddie. Give me some scotch. How about that, huh?
Harvey, I know you've got money.
Better believe it. And you know how I made my money, by the way? I made my money not as a crook, not as a shyster. I made my money honestly. I took a third of all the settlements in the civil. I had very wealthy clients. I did a lot of pro bono work. Scotch, yeah. Give me bourbon.
Oh, he ain't that good.
So the point that I'm making with you, and I don't know if you even have any listeners left.
But we probably don't, man, between you, heating your soup and this guy getting your bourbon or scotch or whatever. Oh, come on, will you?
It's cold. I'm making some coffee. Screw the soup. I don't want that.
Coffee's going to keep you awake.
Oh, is that right? What are you, my daughter all of a sudden? I want coffee. So I went to the library, and I looked up this guy, Anthony Weiner, okay? He's a smart guy. He's a guy that Obama needs, and he went ahead and he tweeted a picture of it to a woman. Now, if he tweeted it to these kids like you think he did, like you try to get everybody to believe that he did, which I think is really wrong of you, Mr. Henry, because...
Oh, man, if you use that microwave one more time...
You know what? I'm sorry, but I like it real hot. No, way hotter than that, okay? No, way hotter. I want it so hot, it'll burn the flesh right off my tongue. Come on. Do it. I just don't, these microwaves don't do it for me, man. I like a real, yeah. Heat it up. There you go. Now, one of the things that I do, Phil, I don't know if I told you this or not, I quit smoking, as you know, about 2 years ago. I smoked cigars up until 2 years ago.
I didn't know that.
And I quit by using aversion therapy on myself. I didn't go to a doctor. I didn't go to any smoke enders. I didn't do any of that stuff. And I use aversion therapy. And one of the things, here, hold on for just a second. Get it a little hotter, will you? There you go. Yeah. One of the things I do is I take a boiling hot liquid, like I've got right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open up my underwear.
Harvey, wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on, hold on. And pour it in.
What did you just do?
Hold on. Don't hold on, me.
Who's that?
That's a George.
George, where's Harvey? What did you just do?
What do you mean, what did I just do? I just poured the cup.
That's how you quit smoking cigars, huh?
That's it. I still got that phlegm in my throat, though. So, and what I would suggest, if you wanna break wiener of sending pictures of it to 15, there you go, right here.
Yeah, huh? All right, well, Harvey, thanks.
Say it again.
Thank you.
What's that?
Thanks a lot. Okay.
What are you yelling for? Yeah, real hot, good and hot.
Thank you very much.
Oh, don't you want to stick around and hear this?
No, I don't. Thank you very much. What a sick animal.
Yeah, but I think I have some good ideas about Wiener.
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe one day when we got a straitjacket around him, we can bring him in here and he can talk about him.
What is he doing? A hot thing pointer on his thing?
That's what it sounded like to me. All right, so anyway, thanks very much. And if I can just summarize, it sounds to me like Harvey's saying, you know, Anthony Weiner is, it's possible this guy could be a great American, and we don't have enough Jews in Congress as it is, so let's let him off with a light, a slap on the wrist.
Either that or pour a hot liquid down in the shorts.
Either that. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Here's something else you can't fight alone.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I got Harvey Weierman over on line number two. I guess he's over. Yeah, there he is. Harvey, I know that you have the family over, and I understand that you're a little inconvenienced.
I'm all right, but what I resent was the end of me. You baited me into being on this program tonight.
Well, it sounds to me like you're getting ready to take a bath.
Don't worry about what I'm doing. Do you mind? Don't worry about what I'm doing. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You baited me into being on your program tonight to come up with answers and solutions to the Anthony Weiner situation. Put some more water in there, George. I got George, who... George has been with me since, Geez, George, how long you been here?
Well, since you moved from my old house.
Yep, we moved to the old house. I'm in San Marino now. We used to be out in Pasadena. Put some more water in there.
I don't think...
Put more water in there! You want me to take a bath in 2 inches of water?
I don't think I'm going to drown.
I'm not going to drown in 2 inches... Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Wait, you know, we don't have a lot of time.
Hold on. How am I going to drown in 2 inches of water? Put some more water in there, will you, please? Come on. Yeah. All the way to the top.
I'm not fucking with it now.
I'm not going to drown in 2 inches. Are you ready for this, guy? I'm going to drown in 2 inches of water.
Now, what I was saying is, what do you think? We got a drought on? Come on, I'm a rich man. So anyway, Phil, I heard what you said when you went into the break.
What?
You said I belonged in a straitjacket, didn't you?
I said that some of the things you were saying, yes.
What was I saying? I said, what if Abraham Lincoln sent a picture of his thing to a 12-year-old?
Right, and that's, to me, that's just bizarre.
Let me, George, come here for a minute. I'm going to talk to George. This is a man, George Gonzalez, has been with me for a long time. He's been a butler. He's been on my domestic staff. George, come here. How long you worked for me?
Since 1971.
Since 1971, Phil. 40 years. 40 years. How old were you when you started with me?
15.
15 years old.
15?
Yeah, 15. Oh, I get it. So he was my boy?
I'm not saying anything of the sort, man. I don't.
Let me get into this stuff. All right, now, George, have you ever worked for anybody else? Off and on, you worked for me. You worked for somebody else, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Who did you work for?
I worked for Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, look at that. Right there. See that?
He worked for Sheen, huh?
You better believe he worked for Sheen. And what did Sheen used to do, okay, to get women?
Mr. Sheen would have,
Hold on for a minute. God, I got to go to the bathroom. Hold on. Oh, I'm in the tub. I might as well just...
No, you don't!
Right? You know what the definition of stupid is, don't you? Getting out of the shower when you got to take a leak. Now...
You know what, Harvey? Are you doing stand-up now?
No, I am not.
Then can we get to the point?
Oh, well, okay, sir. So what did Sheen do to attract women? Now, this is George. Come on, George. What did Sheen do? Is that the baby... Is that the shampoo that doesn't hurt my eyes, right?
No, it's not touch.
Okay. What did Sheen do to attract women?
Mr. Sheen would, just like you, Mr. Wireman, he would have them heat in a microwave oven. Bacon fat.
Bacon fat, Phil. Now, you think I belong in a straitjacket. Where will you hear this story? Go ahead.
They'll heat up the bacon fat.
Right. And then what would Mr. Sheen do with the bacon fat?
He'd just sit down into it.
He'd sit right down into it.
He'd sit down into boiling hot bacon fat?
That's right.
Yeah. The reason why he said is women are attracted to pork. They smell of pork?
Yeah. Sheen figured in his twisted and warped mind that you could attract a woman if your genitals smelled like pork. Are you ready for that?
Wow.
Yeah. So he'd have George, although it did work, didn't it?
Yes, it did work.
So I don't know what I'm...
Well, now, wait just a minute.
Well, you can't deny that it works.
I don't know whether that did it or not.
I don't know why I brought the story up, because I was going to make fun of him, and now I realize that guy's kid's work. Talk about a rental car. So go ahead, George.
Anyway, help me to heat it up, and he'd sit in the bacon fat.
Did it hurt?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Did it hurt or didn't it hurt? It must have hurt. It's boiling bacon fat.
I don't know. He looked like he was smiling and everything.
What do you mean smiling? What do you mean smiling?
What, is he serious?
Hold on for a minute. George, every night I have you pour hot soup down my shorts so I won't smoke a cigar. And you're telling me that Charlie Sheen sat in hot bacon fat and smiled? God will not permit this to happen. I'm going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. Heat up some more of that soup.
Please, senor, don't make me do it. Please don't make me do that.
I said to heat up more soup, yeah.
Wait a minute. What, are you going to prove something to yourself?
That's right. No way does Sheen sit in hot bacon fat. Yeah, that's it. Is it hot? Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm going to sit in this.
Come on, you'll have to smile just like Charlie Sheen. Laugh, too. That's not good enough. A better laugh. No, you suck.
Are you telling me because you got an ego trip going about Charlie Sheen, you just sat down in more hot soup?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You're lying to me, George.
No, you asked me a question.
You've got to be lying. There's no way Sheen sits in hot bacon fat and lives to talk. And lives to talk? Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, you know what I said about you needing a straitjacket?
Uh-huh.
You need a straitjacket, man.
It hurt really bad.
Yeah, I'll bet it. Your voice has changed, Harvey.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it has, man.
Okay.
I better put him to bed.
Yeah, I think so. World famous Phil Hendry Show will be back next hour with our news and comment hour. Charlie Sheen sat in hot bacon fat because he heard chicks were attracted to the smell of pork. And it worked. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.